As some very much know, and some very little know, many of the most popular TV and movies have had their production shut down in the last 2 weeks due to the Writers Guild of America striking. It's currently caused all the late night shows to cease their live production aspects, and many TV shows and movies have been put on hold due to the strikes. Marvel, HBO, Netflix, Amazon, all waiting on their writers so they can resume production. Shows like Stranger Things 5, House of the Dragon, Good Omens, Cobra Kai, and The Walking Dead spin-offs all halted, with Marvel's new Blade film suspended, awaiting conclusion from the strike. On May 1st, the Writers Guild of America tweeted out, "The Board of Directors of the WGA West and the Council of the WGA East, acting upon the authority granted to them by their members, have voted unanimously to call a strike effective 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, May 2nd. For those of you asking, how did it come to this? And those of you not asking at all, hang around because there's plenty here to dissect. Alright, first things first, we gotta get it out of the way. Who are the players in this fight? In one corner, we have the Writers Guild of America, the WGA. In the other corner, we have the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, or the AMPTP. Doesn't really roll off the tongue as well. The WGA, as the name suggests, is a labor union that represents writers in film, television, radio, and other online media, and comprises of the WGA West, based in LA, and WGA East, based in New York. It's a joint effort. The AMPTP, or the Alliance as I'll be referring to them, sounds rather harmless. However, it's comprised of the largest studios in the world, including, but not limited to, Disney, Netflix, Warner Brothers Discovery, Paramount, NBC, Amazon, Sony, and Apple. Basically, it's a joint alliance that represents the largest media conglomerates and their interests. The whole narrative already seems a little David and Goliath. So, what's happened? The WGA Union represents the interests of some of the most talented and successful writers in the world. Approximately 11,500 writers are represented by them. Just about every show that's currently airing, or film going into cinemas or streaming, has a WGA writer attached, participating in the writing for the project. So, if almost every project in production in Hollywood needs a writer, and almost all the projects with a writer are WGA, then that leaves Hollywood at a little bit of a standstill on writing content if there are no writers to write, right? Correct. And due to the current writer's strike, a ton of shows in the pre-production stage, that is, the stage before filming, typically where the writing for a project is undergone, have been put on pause as the members of the WGA strike and march along the picket lines. Why, though, are all the writers striking? Well, a little known fact about me, I'm indeed a mind reader, so I'm glad you're asking that question.
If the writers, and I'll say along with it, the directors...
So, here's my good friend Tom Hanks explaining what's happening.
...have to work so hard and get paid as little as possible in order to bring these things to fruition. That's not good for the food chain. That's not good for the ecological atmosphere of the arts and sciences of a movie. And
for legal disclosure, I believe I need to say that I've actually never met Tom Hanks and he's not my friend, and that interview was an excerpt from PBS. But nonetheless, back to the boxing match between the WGA and the Motion Picture Alliance. So, it's mid-March 2023. The WGA's contract with the Alliance is about to expire, and when this happens, the union will go back to the Alliance and begin to renegotiate a bunch of clauses and requirements for its workers, usually to do with pay, conditions, etc., to maintain and increase the quality of the work conditions for its members. Pretty standard stuff. So, the WGA goes to the Alliance and says, "Hey, we're here to negotiate with you and get some results for our members." And exactly what they ask for can be found in the show notes if you want to read it, but I'm going to summarize it here. While there was a little bit of technical jargon, as you'd expect, the gist of it came down to demanding fair pay, job security, changes to how streaming services paid people involved, and writers' residuals. In fact, a lot of the problems they had came down to pay and residuals. Now, don't forget, I'm still a mind reader, so I know you're asking what residuals for writers are. Well, residuals, put simply, are additional payments that writers receive when a TV show or film, or any other content they've written, is reused or shown again beyond its initial run. For example, if a movie that a writer worked on is released on iTunes to rent, shown on cable TV, or streamed online, the writer would receive a later payment for each use, known as a residual. Residuals are essentially a way for writers to continue earning money from their work even after it has been initially aired or screened. There's usually a formula that studios will use, and it's based on how much the writer contributed, how the film or show performed, how much it cost to make, how well it did, etc. Notably, however, this core part of the writer's income has been thrown out the window when it comes to streaming services, as there really hasn't been much definition or transparency from streaming services about how they're calculating the payments to writers. Now, it's super important to make clear that this strike didn't include extreme demands either. As late-night TV host Seth Meyers put it,
I also feel very strongly that what the writers are asking for is not unreasonable.
It's also important to understand that if writers are on strike right now, this only really affects TV and film that are in their pre-production stages. But it's also stopping future film and TV from even starting their pre-production stage. So this means post-production work, such as editing and sound editing, can continue, along with field production like filming. They just can't be done with writers from the WGA. And remember, if the WGA represents 11,500 writers, that's 11,500 people without jobs right now. Now, if there's a strike, clearly somewhere along the line, negotiations didn't go to plan. It was after 6 long weeks of negotiation between the WGA and the Alliance that the studios declined to continue negotiations further, allegedly stating that the WGA were not cooperating, nor were they willing to negotiate any further. So, on May 1st, 2023, negotiations came to a close, and the WGA announced that as of the following day, precisely as the clock hit 12:01 a.m, WGA writers were on strike. So, throughout the research for this episode, I've been reading a lot, over and over again, that many of the members of the WGA and people within the film and television industry have been labeling this union strike as the Netflix strike. And really, that makes a lot of sense. While possibly still an oversimplification of the problem, a lot of the problems seem to come from the streaming model that Netflix pioneered into mainstream success. The streaming model, as it goes, has corporatized a lot more of the industry than previously. Rather than simply caring about box office revenue and production costs, now, a lot of these publicly traded entertainment companies care a lot more about viewer retention and other metrics they can track. Also, let's not forget streaming services are very expensive to create and maintain. Disney, just last year, voted on the CEO stepping down and reintroducing its former CEO, Bob Iger, to help make Disney Plus profitable. With companies like Apple, Amazon joining the fray, the first and fifth largest companies on the planet, of course, the corporatized structure of these companies has bled into squeezing every penny out of a production in the name of profits. And in the last 10 years, there's been a huge cultural shift from studios and networks being run by, if not artists, then at least art lovers, to a highly corporate structure. And as a result, this has led to a ton of downward pressure being put on cutting costs anywhere they can, and as a result, this pressure has boiled into the creation of the product itself, trying to pay the writers as little as possible. A lot of the changes have led to the system where writers can't come up without being financially supported by someone else, like a partner or parents. I love a comment made by showrunner, writer, and producer on HBO's The Last of Us, Craig Mazin, who put it perfectly.
You're not just working with Warner Brothers and Disney, and right. You're also, there's Apple. Mm-hmm. Apple has more money than most nations.
Yeah.
And this perfectly segues us into a letter written by the WGA to its members just a few days ago prior to recording. The Writers Guild of America has now been on strike for 2 weeks because the AMPTP refuses to negotiate a fair deal to address the existential crisis writers are facing. The letter then goes on to say that the WGA estimates it would cost the industry collectively $429 million per year, which sounds like a lot until you scroll to the bottom of their article and see what kind of chunk this would actually take out of the studio's annual revenue. Just to briefly summarize, it would reportedly cost Disney 0.091% of their revenue, Netflix 0.21% of revenue, and Apple just 0.004% of their revenue. Apple, who, as Craig Mazin mentioned, has more money than some nations. The article finishes by saying, "These companies have made billions in profit off of writers' work, and they tell their investors every quarter about the importance of scripted content." I also wanted to quickly hit on a super interesting part of the proposals from the WGA that specifically highlights the use of AI. We've all seen online the shocking practicality of AI producing what would seem like creative work, whether it's the generation of so-called art based on language prompts or ChatGPT's incredible mastery of language. The WGA proposes regulation on the use of artificial intelligence on copyright-covered projects that AI can't write or rewrite literary material, it can't be used as source material, and copyright-covered material can't be used to train AI. All that makes sense, really. There's a clear value for human input in the process of creating art, and the WGA wants to protect that. But you'd also notice that the studios directly rejected this proposal and countered by offering annual meetings to discuss the advancements in technology. Whatever that means. Throughout the researching for this episode, there was a lot of different social media websites that I would check in on regularly to see what people at the actual marches were saying, mostly across platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter. It highlighted one key thing to me, that a lot of writers are both underappreciated or their jobs are completely misunderstood. The writer's job in film and television, most of the time, is to brainstorm, develop, and/or fine-tune story ideas and scripts. It sounds simple, but it's really not. A writer's job is to work collaboratively with other writers and showrunners and directors and sometimes actors to develop a cohesive and compelling storyline, characters, world, dialogue, everything. In TV, there are often up to 5 to 6 writers per episode, and a lot of the writers get shifted around. Some will stick around for most of, if not all, the episodes of a TV show, while some may stick around for only an episode or two. The biggest shift, however, has come as a result of the streaming model in television. In the last few years, television has become a bigger and bigger investment. See the meteoric rise in budget and viewership of Game of Thrones as an example. Traditionally, TV episodes had a 16 to 24 episode season, each episode lasting between 20 and 30 minutes. And I'm a mind reader, so I know that you know seasons have become a lot shorter with longer episodes. So what? Big deal, you're thinking. Well, writers have always been paid for the output, that is, the episode itself, rather than the time taken to write the episode. And if TV episodes are getting longer, that would mean that writers are getting paid the same amount for more work. And due to seasons being shorter, it's become a lot more like gig work, when you couple in the fact that writers aren't being asked to write anywhere near as many episodes per season. And so this means that a writer that sticks around for an entire season of writing will be paid per episode, while episodes have been getting longer and there are less episodes per season to be made. And all of this gets thrown on top of a new methodology that has sprung up in the last few years, colloquially dubbed as mini rooms. Now, keeping it brief, a mini room is traditionally, and that's the key, a scaled down version of a standard writer's room, and typically consists of a smaller team of writers utilized in the very early stages of development to see where a series will go. It's a lot more of a focused approach to script development, but as a result, leads to less job security for the writers involved. And up until a few years ago, this was a completely legitimate system. But lately, this concept has been completely exploited, and instead, studios are gathering these mini rooms to do a lot more work than usual, essentially writing an entire episode, paying a writer even less, and paying them for only one episode. And again, back to Twitter and other social media, these problems don't really seem to be highlighted often. Unless you're listening to this podcast, which I know you hit the follow button on. Right? And due to a lot of misunderstanding, it's led to really mixed reactions. There's been a really supportive reception from celebrities, TV hosts, directors, actors, while it seems that, while perhaps just a vocal minority, the general public shares little sympathy for the writers on strike. But I think a lot of it comes down to the misunderstanding of the conditions and pay and how the system works. And perhaps also the idolization and adoration that's built around Hollywood and the supposed fairy tale that working in the film and television industry is meant to be. Perhaps a lot of it comes down to the stardom and media coverage and the stories of the few ultra successful that made their living in Hollywood, but you can be the judge of that. And speaking of actors, in a developing story, the union that supports a wide cast of actors, the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Actors, better known as SAG-AFTRA, on the day of writing this script, they'll be counting votes to authorize an actor's strike. If this happens, all projects that haven't completed filming will come to a complete halt. Along with the pre-production, the filming of television shows and films will completely stop if authorized on June 30th if there is no conclusion to negotiations that the Actors Guild can come to with the Alliance. And in even more alarming news for the studios and streaming services, the Directors Guild of America, or the DGA, are also predicted to be voting on a strike authorization in the near future as well. With directors on strike, even film and television that has already been filmed will also completely come to a stop. No editing, no sound editing, no editing, no sound editing and mixing, and no color grading. As far as I'm aware, this would virtually take the entire industry to a stop. And the ramifications for all of this are huge. It's not the first time this has happened either. There's been strikes by the Actors Guild, the Directors Guild, the Writers Guild, all the guilds, going way back to 1940. But for now, let's just go back 15 years.
As I am today. The sight of all you people gathered here in unity together to fight for your right to a fair contract tells me without a shadow of a doubt we are going to win this thing.
That was Seth MacFarlane, the wise guy behind Family Guy. It's 2008, the last time the writers were on strike, and it's coming to the end of a 100-day strike. That's like 100 days for writers, largely without pay. Studios only giving out unpaid leave. The effects of the last strike were huge, and it being around 2007 and 2008 meant the economy was about to tip due to the global financial crisis. With the economy already teetering on the brink of failure, the WGA called a strike, and what followed was a strike lasting 100 days and pushing the economy into recession with an estimated loss incurred of about $1.5 billion to the California state revenue, affecting about 37,500 jobs. And a little less worryingly, that year the Golden Globes were announced as a press conference due to the strikes. The last strike's big concern was with how studios were treating residuals for writers surrounding new media, such as the internet distribution model, like iTunes and other online rentals, along with DVD royalties and the way studios treated reality TV writers. In the end, the WGA came out on top. But of course they did. Storytelling and writing is such a crucial part of our lives. Everyone's got their favorite TV show and their favorite movies, let alone the shows that they're currently engrossed in. Along with that, the streaming platforms reiterate every investor's call that there's a clear demand for scripted content. And there's always going to be a demand for storytelling, and especially a demand for writers. There's already so much free content available in the world, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, and they all provide endless hours of entertainment, and yet people still pay for Netflix and Disney Plus, and the cinema industry is on high at the moment, new records being beat every other year. There's always been such a great demand for deep, funny, entertaining stories, and behind all of it, even reality and documentary, there's writers. They say storytelling is one of the biggest differentiators between humans and all other creatures. Do you really think aliens tell stories? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, thanks for listening. I just wanted to quickly apologize for all the acronyms in this episode, all the WGAs and the Alliances and the LAs and the DGAs and the USAs, hoping you got through all of that. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can scroll down just a touch, and there's two quick questions that I'd love to see your opinions on. They're real quick ones, and if you can just spare me a few more seconds of your time, it would mean a lot. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon.